where we cultivate our collective nature, nurture creativity, and spread love. My name is Martha Sander, and this is Listen and Be Heard.
On Zone is the Seiko Sundiata.
A dream for Armand, my grandson. I'm talking to a boy who is trying to master the art of staying awake, balancing the hard facts of daily living against a smooth, cloudless mind in the making. I can tell by the way he suddenly laughs in his sleep and signifies his descent into the kingdom of myth, where the world is forming behind his eyes. He points at me and calls me bird, snow, rain. I tell him I heard that half the species of birds in America migrate to the city.
That was the great Seiko Sundiata. And with us today is the great Ahmed Abdullah and the great Monique Ngozi Henry.
Hey, what's up? This is Hernan Ramiro Rodriguez for Listen and Be Heard with Martha Senator and Ahmed Abdullah, a trumpet player, philosopher, and innovator of American music and an important person in the culture of music, not just jazz. Ahmed, when you think back to your early years in New York, I mean, you were from Harlem.
I was born, the first 16 years of my life I spent in Harlem. And I need to just say that we call the music we play jazz, the music of the spirit.
See, now this is something that I've gotten from you of many years of working with Craig, and that's something that's coming up later because that's so important and it stuck with me. What first pulled you towards trumpet and jazz in the first 16 years of Harlem?
That was exactly in the first 16 years of Harlem because my sister died when I was 13 years old, and she was the one who introduced me to the music by way of a recording that she would play constantly called Diana Jams. With three trumpet players,
wow.
Clark Terry, Maynard Ferguson, and Clifford Brown on it. And that was played during the time that I was growing up. She left the planet in 1961, and the only way I knew to deal with her leaving the planet was to pick up a trumpet. So my whole life has been in celebration of my big sister.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's amazing.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about the music and the scene currently?
I think that we're in a very, very strange place as far as the music is concerned. A number of the people who were innovators as far as this music is concerned have left the planet. And so we're left with mismatch of people who are trying to define what the music is all about. I think we're somewhere in between going forward and in stagnation. So I think that that's where we are. The condition that we are in socially and politically resonates with the cultural statement.
Mm. For people who know your name from Sun Ra, how would you describe who you are as an artist in your own words, if they only know you from Sun Ra, like when it came to that period? What I'm asking is, how was your experience? I know that Craig has his experience, and I always find it that it was a very moving for artists to have played with him. I know I met John Gilmore, and I took some lessons, and it's really important for people to understand, because people are talking nowadays about Afrofuturism, but they don't understand the natural thing that was occurring along with the political environment, but also what was being said and what the genius of what was going on. And how would you describe who you are as an artist when it relates to him?
I got a lot from him. I got an understanding that music was sacred, that you needed to be called to play music, that it was, in fact, a vocation. I got the idea of building enduring relationships from him, that creating relationships that work and that you stay with them to make them work. Interestingly enough, even though he wasn't a person who was a parent, he had us all as his children. So I got the idea that one should work with one's family very closely as a result of working with him, because he created a family with that band. So, I met Monique while I was working with him, and 1991, and we have been together since then. We've been together for 34 years, and we have raised our family. You know, my two sons from another relationship, and our daughter. So the idea of building enduring relationships is something I got from him as well. And the idea that this, when I say the music is sacred, that comes back to the idea that jazz is a music of the spirit of our African ancestors, which is about moving humanity forward in some way. So, so I got an understanding of the practice that we do is the practice of the Buddhism of Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. And he, when he said that we are tone scientists.
Right, that's it.
And the most powerful tones I know are those tones, Nam-myoho Renge Kyo.
What is it about the music and sound that made you feel about what you were experiencing, even at that time, that said, this is my path? Yeah, something you were going to do, but it's also a part of you. Some people play music, as you know, and it's not a part of them. You know what I'm talking about? And that's a very special thing to have and to evolve into. I know that Martha and I have spoken very profoundly about that.
I'm Martha Senator for Listen and Be Heard Network, and we're joined by Hernan Ramiro, my co-host and producer, and Ahmed Abdullah and his wife, Monique Ngozi Inri. But I wanted to just talk a little bit about what has brought us together today, which is the Greenhouse Creators Consortium, of which we are members, and you are a member as well, as the two of you as a not-for-profit group. If you could just tell us the name of the group and like your mission as a not-for-profit.
Our group is called Open Fortress. And Open Fortress is something that we have been doing since we came together. In fact, when we were married, it was part of our wedding address, our Buddhist wedding address, that we should create an open fortress. And we were told, Kazuo Fuji was the person who married us, and he told us we should stay together 5 years and 10 years and 15, and now we're together 34 years. And then as we were able to develop with each other, we could create an open fortress that brings other people together as well. But the first thing was that we had to create a dynamic relationship with each other. So.
Absolutely. And an extension of that, from my point of view, seems to be Sistus Place, which you both have a history there. Maybe you could talk a little bit about what Sistus Place means to the community.
Yes, absolutely. Sistus Place is part of the legacy that I got from working with Sun Ra, the idea of building institutions and institutions that are relevant to people of African descent. So when I left the Sun Ra Orchestra in 1997, I actually started working on my memoir. And the memoir I was working on, which has now been published, is called A Strange Celestial Road, my time in the Sun Ra Orchestra. I started working on it. It was published by Blank Forms, which is a publishing company here in Brooklyn. So I started working on that in 1997. I started, and as a result of working on it, I was asked to be the music director of Sistus Place by the founder of Sistus Place, whose name is Viola Plummer. And that was in 1998. And so I wound up being the music director there for from 1998 until 2023, when the book was published. So, and we're still, Monique and I are still working. And we have a production company that's called Melchizedek Music Productions, and actually was created first to bring life into the Sun Ra Orchestra after Sun Ra left the planet. So we actually created Melchizedek Music Productions in 1995. After Sun Ra left the planet, John Gilmore was leading the band, and then Marshall Allen took over the leadership of the band, and we then formed the production company in 1995 to help Marshall move the band forward. And that lasted for a couple of years, and then I decided to work on the book, which led me into Sister's Place. And 25 years later, and it also led me into teaching, because when I finished the book, I started teaching at the New School in 2001. And then I started teaching at an elementary school, which is right down the street from Sister's Place, in 2005. So those are the things.
Oh, interesting. So you're both writers, actually, then. I want to bring Monique into the conversation. And Monique, you're a poet, and also published by Melchizedek is Who We Be. How did that, where's the origins of that book? I imagine they're intertwined with the story we've been hearing from Ahmed.
Who We Be is my first published book, and it's kind of towards the end or the middle of the trajectory. Because I had been reading and singing with the Aspera band, Dispersions of the Spirit of Ra, for I would say 32 of the 34 years that we've been together. But I felt that I wanted to polish my skills as a poet. I worked alongside Luis Reyes Rivera, who's known as the janitor of history and an excellent poet, for many years in the band. But I also saw the fate of poets like Sekou Sundiata, whose work was excellent, but who had not as much poetry written down.
Yes, I wanted to ask you, I wanted to talk about that a little bit, because you perform as well. So you're a storyteller. I think you make a point of that, making that point in your book. And so what to you is the relationship there between poetry and spoken word, like you said about Sekou Sundiata and your approach to that?
I'm not a huge fan of spoken word. I guess maybe as many people have difficulty with the term jazz, why we call it jazz and music spirit, because while the poetry is spontaneous and different in each time, there is a considerable amount of work, and I know this to be a fact, with Sekou that goes into the work before we produce or perform it. I think spoken word gives the idea that one just opens one's mouth and speaks, which is to me not it. And there are one of the things that I did, I went back to school and got my MFA in poetry, in part because I wanted to learn more about different vessels for delivering my work, different forms, different structures, different ways of doing presenting the work, and I have a different level of skills in the way that I deliver my poetry. That has to do both with the MFA
presenting these amazing artists that you should all check out. What I do, I'm a sound designer and a musician and composer, so I enjoy finding things. And one of the things that I found that I really enjoyed was a recording that I found online by Ahmed featuring Monique and a few other artists for work entitled Diaspora, Dispersions of the Spirit of Ra. We will play an excerpt from that amazing work, and you'll hear Ahmed on trumpet. And I took an amazing poem, also recorded live, but at a different time and place, Times Square. Where else? Read by Monique, and it's called Stockpile. Ahmed and Monique are in the same tempo, And this is the beauty and the great things that we as artists and musicians can do. No AI needed, you know, two live performances put together. So I hope you enjoy it. I hope Ahmed and Monique enjoy it too. I think it's going to be a surprise for them as well. All right, enjoy. Peace.
The stockpiling of desiccated plants on the death root of an obsessed tooth. The stockpiling of defoliants in the pine forest of the skull. The stockpiling of aerosols in the pink smoke of a human corpse. Stockpiles of Agent Orange, Agent Blue, Agent White, acid burning like the hot hoof of a racehorse on the tongue. Look at it. Through the antibodies of the body. Look through the multiple vaccines belching in the veins. Through the cross-infection of viruses stockpiled in the mouth. Through the benzene vapors shooting into the muscles of the stars. Through the gaseous bowels of the military fantasies. Through the white radiation of delirious dreams. Look, this stockpile marries that stockpile to mix and release a double stockpile of fissions exploding into the shadows of disappearing space. Global incapacitations, zero, and boom! This is the nuclear bleach of reality, the inflated thigh of edema, the filthy dampness in the scientific pants of a peace prize, the final stockpile of flesh dancing in the terrible whooping cough of the wind. And even if you think you have a shelter that can survive this stockpiling of communal graves, tell me, where are you going? With the sucked liver of mustard flint, the split breath of hydrogen fumes, the navel pit of invisible clams, the biological lung of human fleas, the carcinogenic bladder of sponges, words made of keloid scars, poems in the numb section of the chromosomes. Just where do you think you are going with that stockpile of contaminated stink? Listen, when I think of the tactile missiles plunging into the rancid goiters of the sun, the artillery shells of wiretapping snakes hissing and vomiting into the depths of a colorless sky, the accumulation of fried phosphoric pus gratified on the fragile first fierceness of the moon, the pestering warheads of death wings stockpiling feathers in the brain, and the mass media's lava of lies stockpiled in the plasma of the ears, and the stockpiling of foreign snap in the fluxes of the blood, and the stockpiling of shattered spines in the chromium suits under polyurethane sheets. I look at this stockpiling, at this rotting vegetation, and I make myself understand the target. That's why I say I'm into life. Preservation of life now. Revolutionary change now. Before the choking, before the panic, before the penetration of apathy rises up and spits fire into the toxic tears of this stockpile.
Monique Ngozi Enri.com, and people can see about your book, Who We Be, but you do also have writings about music on there that people can also read. I want to turn this back over to Hernan to talk to Ahmed a little more. I'm sorry your audio is not the greatest, Monique, but we would like to hear more about what's coming up with your performances. As you say, Monique performs with Ahmed, and coming up in September will be the culmination of festival that we're having, the Greenhouse Creators Consortium, and there's different events leading up to that. But so each group in the consortium are, you know, doing their own thing, as we're clearly hearing here, and we'd like to hear a little more about what we can expect in the next few months.
Yeah, I'm very excited about the idea that we are working together in this collective of 501c3s. It's something that I believe that we have been preparing for all along. The cooperative and collective format is something where you are able to draw lots of strength from the people who are working together, you know, and then, you know, no one person has all of the answers. But when you get a group of people working together who are focused on an ideal, you can get something that approximates, as close to perfection as we get on this planet.
And it reminds me when I really enjoyed my visit to Sister's Place, and Farhan Akhlaf was being featured that evening along with Ernan. And you were talking about the loft scene and celebrating that back in the, you know, and I feel like it's a similar type of spirit, that loft scene that you were so much a part of and celebrating was also a coming together of independent artists who were looking for alternative spaces and to make things happen on their own.
I believe if we look at the music, you would see that has been the trail that has been laid out for us. And all we've done is I think from generation to generation, is attempt to improve upon it, because there are collective forces that are opposed to creativity in this country, and they are working together, and they together to suppress, you know, creativity. And so it becomes our job, if we really understand what we're up against, to work together collectively to move humanity forward.
That's very, very well said. That's exactly, it's interesting that you said that. I was going to ask you the same thing about the loft scene, but you answered the question. It was about how that scene and the local community influenced the way that you, it's a musical question, improvising and band leading. But I think one of the things that people are not, that I admire about you and respect about you, that I'm also adhering to along with Craig and Martha, is that humanity aspect of what we're against, like seeing the reality of the powers that be that are working against the community as a whole, black, white, and all, you know, but really have been at play in the black American community from the get-go, you know, and so part of it is not just education of music, but the music of life and the way of life. With a lot of compassion, that's the only thing that keeps us kind of sane. But I think that you answered that perfectly. I guess one of the things that I was thinking about was, I'm sure as a young musician, of other young musicians, sometimes they wonder about improvisation, and everybody wants to know, like it's some secret, as opposed to this language, a language that you speak that's beyond color. And somebody like, let's say, Wynton Marsalis was placed there by the forces that beat. Nothing wrong, all good, but understand what that implies and what it does and what it doesn't do and what it doesn't answer. What it's not giving, it's not opening the doors. It's kind of done on purpose. It looks like a nice thing, but if you don't let the world and humanity and the compassion of culture and respect it and let it thrive on its own, and nurture it by getting the hell out of the way. That speaks to Sun Ra and what you're saying. I was going to ask you about that, about the concept and sound, you know, and what you're reaching for as an artist. That was the next question. Your trumpet sound is particular. How would you describe your concept for people who have never heard you, what you're reaching for when you play? But more importantly, I champion that humanity in you.
I think that when we understand this, what we're in, you know, there's been a consistency as far as my understanding of music from time immemorial. We've always been trying to show our humanity in the music. And that's why I think that every generation, every mode, every expression of this music is important, because it's an evolutionary process. And so no era of this music, I think, needs to be discarded, because it's always been about attempting to show that humanity. And I'm just part of that, that continual evolutionary process. Because if you understand where we're at, we're in a place that has negated the humanity of African people, and therefore negated the humanity of all people. Because if you oppress one particular portion of the population, you're going to be oppressing other people as well. And it's got to have that, it has that effect. And so when you're raising up, you're raising up African people, you're raising up all of humanity. And that's essentially what the music that we call jazz, the music of the spirit, is all about. It's about raising humanity and letting see the full humanity of us, the nakedness of us, And so we can then, and that relates to who you and she and her and him and everybody else is,
For the musicians, because Hernan asked in particular about the trumpet, maybe you could talk a little more personally about how that does apply to your playing.
Yeah, yes. Well, the same thing. My voice comes through my trumpet, and my voice also comes through the physical voice that I have. Because I do sing, I do recite poetry. And so it is about the human voice and the quality of the human voice. So I'm always trying to get that out of my sound. And the way that I approach playing the trumpet is exactly like that, to make a human statement through the trumpet.
I wanted to say about Sister's Place that one of the things that is said is that culture is a weapon, and the interaction between the audience and the musicians is of a particular quality. You were talking about the loft movement, but usually, when people go in there on a Saturday night, they may be tired out, they may be, upset from the week. Generally speaking, we come out of Sister's Place on a joyous note. So the music lifts us to be able to go back out into the world and face another day. And that happens 99.9% of the time when we engage in the music in Sister's Place. So I think that's something that I want to emphasize, because it's not just about bringing the music back into the community. It is also about the synergy that happens between the musicians and the people in Sister's Place, which then reinvigorates to go back out and do the work, do the politicking, do all of the important work that people need to do. Also in diaspora, we sing the music of South Africa. We sing music from Brazil. We sing a lot of folk music. So diaspora is both dispersions of the spirit of Ra and the music of the diaspora. And so we do, as I say, a lot of music that might traditionally be called folk music, but it brings people together, as Ahmed was saying, in terms of the voice. And we tend to sing a lot together also.
Without books, I don't know where I would be, to be honest. I really don't know. If I didn't have Maya Angelou, if I didn't have Nikki Giovanni, I don't know. The only thing I could connect to possibly my trajectory of who I am as a person would then be my music.
We the people have the power to be heard. So remember that the time to act is now. It's time for a social transformation.
This is the Listen and Be Heard Hour. And so when's the next time that Diaspora is appearing?
That's a good question. I don't think we have anything on the horizon until September. September 19th, we'll be performing at Soapbox, the Greenhouse Creators Collective performs. Nothing has come up yet, so that will probably be our next performance.
For the GCC Festival at Soapbox.
There are things that are happening. I'm going to be playing at the Vision Festival later on this month with William Hooker and a group of other musicians. We have things that we do on a regular basis. This series that we is coming to a close tomorrow. I was talking to Craig Harris about this yesterday, in fact, because Monique and I and Craig were at Juilliard in February when we heard this young trumpeter, whose name is Mejidi Owusu, playing the music of Sun Ra. He's a 20-year-old trumpeter, and he's from Ghana by way of London. And I talked to him right after he performed at Juilliard, and he's been playing at Smalls and Dizzy Gillespie's club, the club that they have at Lincoln Center. But we wanted to bring him into the African American community and introduce him to the community. So we're doing that tomorrow.
And in the meantime, though, there are recordings, right?
Well, besides putting out Monique's book of poetry, we've also recorded Diaspora Meets Afro Horn. We did this in 2019, Jazz and Music of the Spirit out of Sister's Place. And that is a recording that we did that represents the latest reflection of what we've been doing over the last few years. And it is something that, as I said, we own. We put it out ourselves. And so it's a Melchizedek Music Productions item like that. Yeah.
Fabulous. Yeah.
It's fantastic. Exactly. I was going to, it's really a great conversation. We got to do more of these with you guys, man. I know that for you, like, obviously jazz and black music, there's a tradition, based that you understand and feel. And what do you think, how consciously do you think about the tradition versus pushing the new territory? There's something that's what people call new territory. I think you kind of answered that because it's about humanity and that's an old, ever, ever changing. And bringing the community together, here's this young African trumpet player coming and you're bringing him into this. So he is, even though he's playing the music of Sun Ra, because he's playing in a new time, it becomes alive, it's new, it's real. And so I guess that answers that question. Is there anything specifically of yours that you feel points to a clear statement of who you are musically right now? Any recording of yours that you've done that you've like, this is what I'm doing, or it hasn't happened yet?
Good question. I would say that we need to have more artists telling their stories. One of the reasons that I wrote my book was that I thought that the story that was told about Sun Ra was inaccurate.
Okay.
It was one person's view, but it was from outside in. And I think that we have to do the inside out story. We have to tell our own stories. And so if we want to understand that this is a music that comes and is about the raising up humanity, we have to tell that story. Because okay, I don't think anybody else is going to tell.
One last question. What, if you or Monique, both of you can ask this, if you could change one thing about how jazz history or our history is told or taught, what would you change? Monique, would you like to address that?
Well, it's an old chestnut, but I'm always asking, where are the women and what were the women doing? So Celine Washington just posted a few weeks ago a thing about Lucille Armstrong and her role and the way that she worked with Lewis, which is a very different story from from the story that perhaps we might have imagined.
Well, for our listeners who may not, maybe you could like give us a brief something about what her story is about.
She's a musician, very well studied and very overlooked, and was working with King Oliver, and really helped evolve Lewis. Lewis wouldn't be playing the way he was if it wasn't for her sharing her musical knowledge and love of the music and helping him emotionally, spiritually, as it may be, and helped him break away, not only as a person of knowledge and depth, as a great musician that she was, also as a great human being that happened to love Lewis for who he was and saw the amazing gift that he already had and saw his genius before anybody could. Even before Lewis could see it, she saw it. That's heavy.
That's kind of what I was trying to say, which is that she saw the potential in him.
Thank you. And I'd like to ask you, for our listeners, I'd mentioned Monique's website, but how can people learn more about Sistas Place, about your publishing, about your not-for-profit?
Sistas Place has a website, just Sistas Place. You can Google Trumpeter Ahmed Abdullah, and you will be able to find my website. It comes under Melchizedek Music Productions, actually. But Trumpeter Ahmed Abdullah will lead you right there.
Thank you. And Monique, one more time about your website as well, please.
It's Monique Ngozi Nri, which is MoniqueNgozinri.com.
Thank you so much. We'd like to ask all our guests if they could improvise a little and just give us a phrase or a little quotation about using the phrase, listen and be heard.
Listen and be heard. If you listen and you hear, you are bound to find a higher level of consciousness.
Thank you. Monique?
Listen, listen, listen. Listen and you will hear. Listen, listen, listen. Listen, you will be heard.
Thank you so much, Ahmed and Monique. This is, I'm Martha Sitter, and I've been joined by Hernan Ramiro. For the Listen and Be Heard Network, we're launching this new podcast for the Greenhouse Creators Consortium, which is in, you know, has members from around the New York City area and beyond. And we'll be putting on, we have a festival going on basically until September, which culminates. And Ahmed, you actually were instrumental in putting this together. Maybe we could finish with just talking about the date and the place where we will all come together finally and do what's going to probably be an amazing group of performances.
It will be a poetry and art making workshop on the 18th.
Yes, the poetry and art making workshop on the 18th, probably at Andrew Drury's place. The date is September 19th, and the place is the Soapbox Gallery, and the Soapbox Gallery is at 636 Dean Street, which is in the Fort Greene Park Slope section of Brooklyn, and September 19th is it. That will be the premiere of the Greenhouse Creators Collective.
Fabulous. Hernan, any parting words?
No, looking forward. Thank you so much for giving us your time, Ahmed and Monique, and what a wonderful thing to be able to interview both of you and just learn about you from another place besides the bandstand and besides the music, but the music of life is what I always say. And it's what an honor it is. Thank you.
Our pleasure.
I'll post as much as we can on the episode post, which this is the first episode of the Greenhouse Creators Consortium new podcast. We'll be back with another configuration of the members to talk more about life and art and music and poetry and what's going on and what's going on with our festival. So please visit us at listenandbeheard.net, a project of Sound System Culture.
All right.
Peace.
Peace.
Thank you, Martha, for always making this happen. We're going to close off the show with a piece
from Ahmed's memoirs, A Strange Celestial Road, my time in the Sun Ra Orchestra, a very moving autobiography with readings by Monique Ngozi Enri. And it features Don Chapman on saxophone, Nobre Marius, George Gray on percussion, and of course, Monique Ngozi Enri. All right now, check it out. Thank you very much. And support Listen and Be Heard Network and Sound System Culture.
The call never seems to come when I expect, but always comes when it's supposed to. This one came on a Sunday morning in April of 1975. I was in bed with Iyabode, who was pregnant with what would turn out to be our twin sons. She answered the phone. I'll never forget the incredulous way she handed it to me, as if the creator, him, herself, were on the other end. She whispered while cupping the phone with one hand, "Ahmed, it's Sun Ra." This was pretty amazing to me as well. I tried to calm myself enough to say hello. The voice on the other end was deliberate, matter-of-fact, and very Southern. Somehow I knew that in the years to come, I would become quite familiar with it. "This is Sun Ra. I've been trying to get hold of you." I could feel an intense sense of excitement running through me. Sun Ra has been trying to find me. In 1975 in New York City, and especially in Brooklyn where we lived, Sun Ra was it. They didn't come any bigger, at least not in the music known as jazz. In the more than 10 years since Sun Ra had migrated to New York from Chicago, he'd made his presence thoroughly known. He'd become a folk hero in the black community, especially among people who considered themselves aware of African-American culture. Iyabode and I were among those people. I'd met Iyabode, born Cheryl Taylor, about 3 years before, when our destinies literally collided on 6th Avenue and 8th Street in Greenwich Village. She was working for a jeweler on 3rd Street known as Dariel Sedan, and I was coming from a rehearsal with my horn in its case. The handle of my case snapped just as I bumped into her. She was the most attractive woman I had ever seen up until that point. She had her head completely shaved in an East African style, and she wore beautiful silver hoop earrings. We began a conversation that resulted in our going on a date that evening, December 9th, 1972, to hear The Freddie Hubbard Man at the Beacon Theater on the Upper West Side. Our two children were the result of that fateful meeting. Sun Ra had rendered himself a unique artist by owning his own record label and publishing company as he did. His independence was both an asset and a hindrance. The asset was that he played where he wanted, how he wanted, with and for whom he wanted. The hindrance was lack of recognition. So in the early 1970s, when Sonny, as he was called, and his business partner, Alton Abraham, had licensed ABC Paramount's Impulse Records to distribute several of their 1950s recordings, which up to that point had been modestly available, things began to change. Sun Ra was well on his way to becoming a major international star. By 1975, when I received the call, he was already there. When I hung up the phone on that Sunday in April, I immediately turned to face a person whose bright eyes revealed the same mixture of surprise and joy I was experiencing. The potential birth of our sons, moreover, endowed Iyabode's ebonic skin with a radiance reserved for those who bring forth the young. She had been favored by the Creator, who appeared not to want any to be unaware of this fact. She had been blessed with full lips and a nose just flat enough, along with almond-shaped eyes and an elongated neck that gave her an aura of royalty. I'd written a song for her called Ebony Queen. The pregnancy had affected her in another interesting way. She'd lost weight everywhere except in her stomach. Her shoulders had become so thin, she looked almost undernourished. It was as if all of her food went to the babies while making her stomach seem incredibly huge. A moment ago, she'd been trying to hear my conversation with Sun Ra by putting her chin on my shoulder. Now she wanted a report. "Ahmed, was that really Sun Ra? What did he want?" "Yes, it was really him," I said. Well, what he wants, she repeatedly asked. He wants me to play with him. Where, she asked. Here in Brooklyn at the East. At the East? When? He didn't say exactly when, but it seems like it's going to be sometime this month. He said he wants me to come to Philadelphia to rehearse with him. To Philadelphia? I could feel her enthusiasm dimming. I thought you promised that you wouldn't go out of town until the babies were born. I know I did, sugar, but it's only going to be for a day, and the babies aren't due until next month. And besides, this means I can earn a little extra money. I could probably earn more in a night than I do in a week working at that copying job. This seemed to reanimate her and bring her back, and bring back some of her initial joy.
Firma. Feet firm on the ground, rooted like ancestors and palms beside the sea of stormy protests and hurricanes. Land, land of mine, and going home across fields where feet are blown to other lands. Terra firma. Firmer, solid, solid, packed earth, free to walk on in spite of quakes and other low-line rumblings 5 fathoms down. Who walks with me on higher ground? Terra firma, who knows, knows the certainty, free and unfree. Free and unfree, clear yet not clear, truth yet not true, terra firma, terra firma, who walks with me on higher ground, who walks with me on higher ground.
concept of what it is and how it should grow. And my idea at the time was to reintroduce myself to the literary community from which I felt a bit estranged. Yes. And to be a good member of that community and serve its needs, which is for authors to be able to have a forum, a platform to talk about their work, their new books, their craft, and for us to engage with each other and to embody the network that we are, because we are the network, and Listen and Be Heard network is nothing but a growing group of people who communicate and help each other out too, nurture each other, water each other, shine light on each other, and admire us when we flower and harvest our fruits when they're ripe to be enjoyed after much practice and deliberation. And this show has grown and blossomed in ways that I could never really have imagined when I first began. And yet, it's growing into what I envisioned it to be, which is for me to be part of a family and to, you know, do my part in that family. And my part seems to be to bring people together and engage them in conversation and have conversations that lead to action and creation and even beauty and enjoyment. And I hope that you feel the same way about Listen and Be Heard and would welcome your participation as another creator, inventor, listener who also needs to be heard. And there are various ways that you could become involved in this entirely commercial-free hour, either by contributing segments or contributing finances or just leaving a comment and letting us know if we're making a difference in your life, if you like to come back from week to week. Thanks, as always, to Davine Dial at WPVM Radio in Asheville, North Carolina, for introducing Listen and Be Heard to the broadcast airwaves. KCEI in Taos, New Mexico. KEPJ in San Antonio, Texas. KHOI in Ames, Iowa. And KFOI in Red Bluff, California. And other stations that are part of the Pacifica Affiliate Network for cultivating the audio garden in your communities. And our own Listen and Be Heard Network, host of WLBH.org. Please visit us at listenandbeheard.net and sign up for our email newsletter and at our Listen and Be Heard YouTube channel, where you will find unedited video interviews of our featured guests. My name is Martha Senator, and I want to thank you for listening and giving me the opportunity to be heard.
Thanks to Martha Senator, our executive producer, and our new nonprofit, Sound System Culture. Thank you for your support. Please tell your friends. This is the only place you're going to hear this music, this radio art, the way that radio podcasts should be felt and experienced in our communities. All right, check it out.
Ah, 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 ah You're kinda naughty, but you're naughty and nice, eh? Gingerbread, 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 gingerbread. You're full of sugar, you're full of spice. You're kinda naughty, but you're naughty and nice. My heart does race every time I'm with you, but your mama says you're much too young today. We meet on the corner and we share a kiss or two. How long did your mama think we'd wait, wait, wait? Gingerbread, 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 gingerbread. You're full of sugar, you're full of spice. You're kinda naughty, but you're naughty and nice. Think we'd wait, wait, wait. Gingerbread, 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 gingerbread. You're full of sugar, you're full of spice. You're kinda naughty, but you're naughty and nice.